Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back, or welcome to Locks of Laughs podcast. I am your host, Ashley Arpel Steinbach. And today we have two comedians in the South Florida area, two female comedians in the South Florida area. We have Erica Letterman and Jess Lasso. I have met them a little bit in person, but I've seen a lot of their social media and I've watched them perform. They're so funny. I'm really excited to have them on because, hello, girl power. But before they come on, this should come as no surprise. Please like and subscribe anywhere you are listening to this podcast. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, our handle is at Locks of Laughs Podcast. Locks is L-O-X-X, like your ex-boyfriend. We hate him podcast. And if you want to follow me personally, my handle is at That's Ashley's Kitchen. That's Ashley's Kitchen. Without further ado, Erica and Jess.
Okay.
Erica Letterman and Jess Lasso. I know I asked already, Jess or Jessica Lasso.
I've started going by Jess ever since I started comedy, just because there's another Jessica and I just didn't want to, and it's a common name, but also just like
Jessica Lasso?
Yeah. Which is Smith. No, not just the Lasso. There's Jess Smith. There's another Jessica. And then there's also like Jesse.
Wait, I introduced you as Jess Lasso.
Yeah, that's correct.
No. That's correct. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Locks of Laughs podcast.
Thank you.
Welcome, both of you. We have only met in person, Jess maybe twice, Erica once the other night. I love when I get to have comedians on the pod. I feel like it makes it more fun because comics are fun to chat with.
Yeah.
Especially female comics.
Female comics are the best.
Female comics are the best. Before we get into everything, what are we noshing on today? I just had a really spicy salad. I have coffee and I have water now, but literally 4 minutes ago, like 4 minutes before I hopped on, I had a super duper spicy salad. What are we noshing on today? Tell me.
So I always have two drinks as well. I've got my coffee in my mug that says "You are my sunshine" because that's what my mom used to sing to me as a child. And then because this is Locks of Love, I brought my favorite soda, Dr. Brown's cream soda. Just a classic Jewish soda.
mazel, love that for you.
In terms of noshing, I have gotten into, because I'll forget to eat sometimes when I work. So I've been getting into the habit of protein bars when I can remember,
I wish I had that problem. Like, I wish I could forget to eat.
Oh my God.
I always remember.
It's fun. It's fun until you pass out. But
you've passed out before from not eating. I mean, obviously from forgetting to eat, not intentionally.
I've come very close. Like where you just like you, just that really lightheadedness. But find that they have these, because protein bars sometimes are really hard to eat, but there's these new like puff ones. Like they're puff. Just like marshmallowy.
And ooh, call them out. Maybe they'll sponsor the show.
I'll bring up Puff. Puff, they're really good. You should freeze them. They're even better like frozen. I like them frozen.
Mental note. Okay.
And I also
I love that.
Paper, so I will be having fresh bread in about 2.5 hours.
Stop. Like sourdough or
I just bought a sourdough starter yesterday because I have this bread machine.
Okay.
But right now I'm making it's like a cheese and herb loaf.
Stop. Come over. I'm not a sourdough girly, I'll be honest, but like I love bread.
Yeah.
Same. But I haven't jumped on the sourdough bandwagon. I'm not against it. I don't think I understand the hype.
I don't either, but I hear it's healthier for you.
I heard that too. And I also heard that about rye bread.
Yeah, so that's why.
Erica.
Trying.
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. Erica, I have to know what you're noshing on, and then we'll get back to sourdough. Loaves and all that.
Yeah, I also just ate lunch just right before this started.
Love that.
Standard staple. I eat the same thing, like working like Monday through Friday. My diet's very boring on an average work day. So, what I just ate was air fried broccoli with nutritional yeast.
Oh, are you vegan?
No, I just am not a good cook.
I ask because of the nutritional yeast. Because
I love nutritional yeast.
It's like a supplement for cheese, right?
It's kind of cheese-like. Well, I also ate burrata today. That was what I had for breakfast, was just a giant ball of burrata. With balsamic vinegar. That was breakfast.
Your life sounds incredible. I love that you had like a mini charcuterie for breakfast and then just you're like, I'm going to have broccoli for lunch. And like,
that's my standard diet, though. I get everything from Costco. So Costco sells these like containers of mini burrata balls that are amazing. And they're just
I love Costco.
I love Costco, too. Yeah.
And I get nervous because I'm going to get like lost in it.
But I just have the same. I buy the same like 15 things every time I go. So it's just like a.
But don't they change it a lot? Because they have different partnerships.
They recently did. I went back and they moved things and I was just like I almost had to go home because I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, I would have like a panic attack. Or I'm afraid to use the restroom at Costco. Because I have. I have, but I have a really like small bladder. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. No, I'm kidding. Let's not.
Let's talk about the fact that my gynecologist told me yesterday I have a narrow cervix.
What? Did
that good or bad?
Did they also explain, like, what a narrow cervix is?
I mean, like, I don't think it's, like, a condition kind of thing. It's just, like, it just happens to be a little narrow. So, like, hey, maybe the next IUD we give you doesn't need to be big. And, like, that sounds great.
Oh, okay.
He also said that maybe you are.
And then new IUDs even came in different sizes. That's used to be.
I didn't know that either. And he also said it could affect the reason why which it's not like I've tried, but, like, why I've never had a pregnancy, like, in my life.
Mm-hmm. So that just means that it's your protection's working, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, which I love. Cheers.
Well, yeah. If you don't want a baby, of course.
You know, yesterday I had a gynecologist and a male one, which I was nervous about for the first time.
A man?
Man, and I was nervous about it, but I needed it. I needed an appointment because my IUD now is expiring, and so like my hormones are going crazy. I'm crying constantly. Just constantly. I had cramps again. So I went and they're like, well, the male's the only one who's available sooner and also won't charge you for like an extra appointment just to ask about the IUD. Like rather than it just being like covered in my yearly.
I see. Okay.
So he wouldn't charge it as a separate appointment.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And I told, and he was like, and no plans for kids. And I was like, nope. And he didn't like, no pushback on that at all.
No pushback.
Questions.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's refreshing.
Yeah. I've been in a pickle before, like, and had to see a male gynecologist when, like, just, like, needing to go. And it's a different experience than, like, I'm just more comfortable with a female gynecologist, but I also, it's as long as they're respectful, I don't really, I guess I don't care, but like, I kind of, you do. My mom does. I love how I'm just throwing that out there. My mom has a dude gynecologist.
Sample size, but the male gynecologists I've had are just very to the point. Like, yeah. They don't really invade. Like, I feel like the female gynecologists I've had will ask like really invasive questions about my sex life and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if that's relevant.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think, like, are you saying that a female gyno has more bedside manner?
Well, for me personally, it I don't like that. Like,
oh, you don't.
You just need to get to the point. Like, do the thing that I'm here to do. You don't need to ask any questions. Like,
I love that we're on the topic of gynos.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, I actually love that for us because it's just funny. How long, speaking of gynos, no, I'm kidding. This has nothing to do with it. But how long have each of you been in comedy?
A year.
Jess and I have the same anniversary, comedy.
Yeah,
anniversary.
We do.
No so, way. Yeah. Mazel. So like the exact same day?
Yeah.
No, I'm like a couple years before. Year.
Okay.
But the same like day of the year. Yeah. October. What is it? October 6th?
6th.
Yeah.
And that was your very first open mic.
Mm-hmm. Sad Man's.
Mine was 2022.
Oh, wait. Was that Sad Man's?
Sad Man's. That's where I took comedy classes there.
And oh, then, you took.
Yeah. And then so like that was the only mic I knew about. And then I learned about the other ones. Which I like better. So not that I don't like Sad Man's, just.
No, I get it. When I first moved here, I went to Sad Man's. I've been there twice for their open mics because it was the same. I didn't know about the other ones yet. I didn't meet people. I think open mics are a great place for camaraderie and to meet other comics, and you can either put on your own shows, be in their shows, they can be in yours, you know, like it's a great, that's how I've made that's how I semi, well, I met Jess, I think I met you at Sad Man's.
Yeah, the second it was either your first or second time there.
I think it was my second. Did I sing a song?
It was incredible.
Thank you. Then it was my second one.
I gave you a standing ovation.
Thank you. Oh, that was you, that one person.
Yeah, I was so impressed because you do have a lovely voice, but it was so funny. Like, it was just so funny. And it wasn't
It wasn't the diarrhea song.
Yeah.
It was the diarrhea song.
Fringy.
Yeah, I heard that the other night. It's fantastic.
So not cringy. Like, it's
I had to go up right after that. I was like, really? Really? I got to follow that?
I thought you said you had to poop right after that. And I was like, no. Blessings to your, that's poop. What I'm here for.
My open mic set that night was actually a giant poop also. So.
Mine, but here's the thing. Mine was too. And that's why I'm so glad that Abby, shout out Abby. Is her last name actually Ballin?
It is. That is her real name.
That's amazing. Yeah. Shout out Abby Ballin because she's great.
Yeah.
But my set that night was not. But that's why I'm so happy that Abby gave me the opportunity to have a couple more minutes on stage and sing the song, because it wasn't a great night for me. Mm. Like, comedy wise, like, I don't think I hooked the room. And so I'm glad that I had, you know, a song after.
There was only a handful of civilians who really, they did not sign up for comedy. They just wandered in and they were like, what's happening? And then it was
Did you hear the one, I think it was Marissa who was on it was Abby. Abby was starting the show and she said something that she's half Jewish. And one of the girls said, like, are you cheap?
Oh,
and,
I didn't know.
I was like, first of all, one, you're heckling. And two, why would you heckle that?
Yeah.
It was so weird.
It's just so low-hanging fruit. Like, come on, be creative.
It's also, right, like, if you're going to heckle, like, I wish you wouldn't. But if you're going to, then, like, heckle something. I'd rather you say, like, take your top off than, like, hey, you're Jewish, are you cheap?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I think I would rather that. I'd rather be objectified.
No, yeah. I mean, I objectify my husband. Like, I'd rather the chick be like, show him off than be like, hey, I heard that Jews are cheap. Can you confirm?
Like, and let's all laugh about it.
Yeah, let's laugh about it. So you guys, how did you two meet? Did you meet at an open mic or did you meet at a show?
Probably.
The first time I saw Jess was at Swampgrass.
And I don't even know what that is.
Saw her Swampgrass Willie. It's in Palm Beach Gardens.
Okay.
Jackie Sanchez puts on some shows there. Mix, like open mic showcases, things like that. They've done Off the Cuff there a couple times. That's the
Okay. Well, I know Jackie.
Yeah.
So, got it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just an open mic at Swampgrass, and I saw Jess go up.
It must have
Jess
been Off really the Cuff then. I don't know. Did I do an open mic as well first? I know I did Off the Cuff there.
100%. Because you did your joke about thrift store puzzles, and I thought it was hilarious. And I was I like this girl.
I gotta bring that back.
Oh my god, wait, I haven't heard that one. I want to hear it, but you don't tell it here. I'll come to a show because
I got an arsenal.
I want to hear it.
I will do that one. Yeah, that is a good one.
Do you hate, because I know as a comic, like, I hate when people say, oh, you're a comic, tell me a joke. I hate when people do that in conversation.
How do you do that?
Yeah. It's so uncomfortable.
So awkward, because it's like, I gotta be on in that moment, and then like, you got to think about what joke they like. I had a guy. this is a funny story. I have my neighbor who's just like a very, very typical Florida white man. Like, just
what does that mean?
He spends all day out. He's got two kids. He's divorced. They live with the mother.
Okay.
He spends his entire day. He doesn't have a job, so he spends his
golfing.
Entire day.
He golfs.
No. He says it shirtless, sitting outside smoking and drinking beer all day. He's got some cool friends. So one day I came home and it was like late and his friend came out, probably like a 60, 50-year-old, big, big, burly white man from mm-hmm. Philly. And he's mm-hmm. like, you're a comedian? And he's like, I should go to one of those open mics. I've always been told I'm really funny. Can I say the N-word?
What? What?
And I'm like, I mean, I guess it would depend on the context. He's like,
I mean, no, I don't think there's any, no.
I was trying to, because he was so earnest in it. And then he's like, I was like, but why would you? He's like, because I am. And he said it. And I was like, I was so thrown back. And he's just like, I say it all the time. Like, I'm. And because he's talking about like how his employees are black. And so they'll say it. I'm like, well, of course, your employees are not going to push back on you. You pay their bills. But he's just like, but I am like, it's fine. He just keeps using. I'm like, if the joke is just you using the word.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. But, you know, then he's like, then I was like, you know what? Actually, you should. You should go.
Yeah. You know what? Show them who you are. That's fine.
Go to Kelly Brothers on a Tuesday. Please say the end. I would like to be there and I'd like to film it.
I am just shocked. So I thought that was going a different way because there are people all the time that say like, oh, I've always been told I'm so funny. I should try an open mic. And it's like, try it.
Oh, wait. And then after he said that, I literally said the N word, hard R. he then tells me to tell him a joke. And so I figure, all right, like, he probably has, like, a darker sense. So I'm going to tell him it was a joke about, like, my brother's autism. So, and the minute I said the word autism, he goes, no, you can't joke about that. No, absolutely not. I'm on the autism board. Like, you can't joke about that. And like,
autism is a comedy grenade, that word. Yeah. I've tried several jokes about autism.
When you say comedy grenade, you mean it blows up? Like, it's not good?
It doesn't work because people have so much baggage about their own interpretation and experience with that word that mm-hmm. they don't listen to you anymore. Like, they're not listening to your perspective. They're just layering it with their own bias. I've tried many different angles and it does not ever work.
I love that you say you've tried it. Because it's like that Michael Scott thing. I forget what he says, but in The Office where he's like, I think it was the shooting of Abraham Lincoln. And he goes, it's just not funny. Trust me, I've tried. But I heard a joke when I was, I did a show at Flappers in LA, and one of the other comics
had a joke about if Trump had autism, how he would say, like, I have the best autism. It's better than everybody's. It's number one. There are levels. And it was so funny. Please forgive my interpretation of the joke. I wish I remembered the comics.
Close your eyes, Mark.
I would shout him out.
I thought you were doing your impression of Trump.
Well, yeah, please disregard that as well, because I haven't rehearsed that. It's not my joke. I'm going to try and see if I can figure out who that comic was, if I can go back and find out, because it was a funny joke. That was not my joke. I want to make that clear. I'm not stealing a joke. But it was. I thought it was very funny in the moment. And I think he, like, won a prize after that.
Elon Musk has come out as being autistic, and it didn't go the way I think Elon Musk thought it was going to go.
Elon Musk thought
he was going to, like, make autism cool, and everyone's just like, oh, that explains why you're not cool.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, yeah. Obviously. Duh. Yeah. I do find my autism jokes, it is risky.
Oh, so you, do yours hit?
I have one that I do. And it's not like about, I mean, it kind of is, but it's about your brother. It's about my brother. Like, I have experience with this. Like, listen, I lived my life. I paid my dues to be able to say this joke. And it's funny and it works. And I want to say it works like 75% of the time.
Yeah, I think when it comes to comedy, I think you have to, I guess, suss out the crowd a bit to see what you think they would vibe with. Mm-hmm. But it is hard to do that when you're at an open mic, because open mics are meant to, like, test your new stuff or just test old stuff that you haven't done in a while.
Yeah. It's also really hard when you're new and you don't have that much material. Like, it's only very recently. I have, like, 30 minutes of material now, so I can, if I'm doing a 10 to 12 minute set, I can decide when I arrive and look at the crowd and I'm like, ooh, they're going to like the dark stuff, or ooh, maybe I should avoid the drugs, or ooh. Like, it's very recently that I have enough material to be able to do that. Because for a long time, it was like, well, I got my 10 minutes. You're going to like it or not.
Huh. Have you found that if you know in advance you're doing 10 minutes and you have your 10 minutes set, and then you get there and you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to switch things around. Does that throw you off?
Not recently. It did at first. But the last, like, 6 months or so, I've become a lot more adaptable and, flexible.
That's great.
I had to do that recently because I was just planning on doing a set. I had a set at the Peach, a show. And, like, I'm going to walk up there. And out of nowhere, I turn around and my parents just walk out of El Segundo, which is, like, the restaurant there. And I was like, Mom, Dad? And they're like, surprising you, like, to we came to see your show. Well, that's okay. All right. Well, not going to do it. So I had to switch it up all on the spot real fast. And I was worried about it. But, like, I think it was like Erica said, like, I had at least enough material to do it.
Right.
And it was just more like, all right, well, I don't have this memorized. So it's like, now I'm going to have to bring something up there with me. And
did that at a show, not an open mic.
Yeah. So, like, and I don't always love doing that. So sometimes I'll at least just, like, put it on my phone and, like, I'll just, like, have it as, like, my phone background screen or something. And just, but once I find that, like, once I go up there, I don't look at my notes as much as I think that I will.
Yeah. Because I also think crowd work takes care of a lot of, like, in between time. And sometimes you're set up isn't as long or as short as you think it is when you're writing it on paper, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. When you plan out to do, like, 5 minutes and you think you have enough or, like, whatever, and then you still have, like, another few minutes, you're like, what do I?
See, I love that. I love when I don't get the light and I'm like, oh, I have a little bit more time. I dig that. My worst fear is when I'm, like, in the middle of a setup and I get the light.
I hate that.
And I always ask for the light 1 minute, not 2 minutes. So, like, I have to, when I get the light, I have to know, like, you're
like most I mean, if you've already set the joke up and you get the light and the joke is longer than a minute, they're not going to be like, get off the stage. Like, that's if you start another joke after the light, yeah, then that's a problem. But like,
right. I think it depends where you are. Like when I auditioned, I think I've talked about it on this pod before. When I auditioned for Flappers in LA, you only got 2 minutes to audition. And then literally you were if you didn't leave the stage, you were pulled off.
Yeah.
So I did like a minute and 40 seconds. And I was like, I am out because I don't even want to be pulled off the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was actually an amazing experience. And Flappers is an incredible club and the bookers are great. Like, it's awesome. But it, to me, after that experience, I've always been like, okay, don't overdo it. But when I was just at the Improv here in Fort Lauderdale, I got the light, but I didn't realize it was the light. I did 20 minutes and then I see a light, but it was being filmed. So I thought it was another camera. So I kept going. And then I was like, I feel like I've been up here for a while, you guys. Like, did I get the light? And someone in the back was like, yep.
Oh, no.
I was on a show a few weeks ago where another comic, like, he drank a lot beforehand. And so he kept getting the light. Like, and he just kept ignoring it. Oh. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to do one more joke and I'm going to let you guys go.
No.
And then
he
would do it.
Why
and
is
then,
always a man who does that?
And then if it didn't hit or something, you're like, well, I can't leave you with that. And then he's like, so what do you guys want to talk? So he kept saying it and he kept saying it. And then another 10 minutes had happened. And what was supposed to be, like, I think 15 minutes turned into like 30.
It's very disrespectful to
it's
do
so
that.
Yeah.
To the comics, to the person that booked you, to the people in the audience.
To staff,
in
the room. Like, it's not how this works.
That I find to be very disrespectful because you will not be booked again. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. you need to, it's one thing to be like, oops, sorry, like, I didn't see it and I explained it. And, like, it was a I was the co-headliner. So, like, it kind of was okay, but I would never in someone else's show or at an open mic intentionally go over the light.
Well,
I would never do that.
He was the headliner, so I'll give him that. But
it
wasn't an open mic, but
I still don't love it because he doubled his time.
Yeah.
But I can understand a little bit more as to, like, why he didn't want to leave on, like, maybe a sour note.
And it sounds like it's one thing if you're crushing and that everyone's loving
right,
it.
Right.
You're like,
yeah. Encore. Yeah.
It sounds like he was longing and just was trying to redeem himself. And
it wasn't
was
a normal light, too. It was like, there was like a timer in the back. But honestly, like, I have had it at an open mic. The first time I hosted an open mic, which is a few weeks ago at the Peach, the first guy to go up was Guy Harvey. We kept giving him the light. Like, We were in his face giving him the light, and he just would not stop.
He does that a lot.
And
so what do you do at that point? Do you get up and you, like, grab the mic and you're like, all right, Harvey, thanks.
I literally got up and I was like, okay, thank you. Like, I couldn't at that. I wish I had one of those, like, giant hooks, but I...
Oh my God, that's so funny. Will you let me know the next time you're hosting at the Peach? Because I will for sure come, and I've never done the mic there.
It's a fun mic. A good time.
It's a great venue. It's a bit
to
host sometimes because, like, it is.
It's long.
I heard it's a long night.
It was 36 people that night. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very popular mic.
I was so drunk by the end, too. I was trying to be encouraging to, like, some new comics that came at the end who had, like, no audience. And,
That's really nice of you.
Well, because they didn't do well. And, like, I know how that feels. And, like, I could just tell they were down. And I was like, and he's like, all right. And they do that thing that all comics at open mics do when they bomb. It's like, all right, I'm going to go kill myself now. Like, that joke. And
yeah.
I go drunk. And this is how I think. This is how it seemed to have sounded. Hopefully it didn't sound like gibberish. No, I'm not going to let you leave here and think that you're not funny. It's very brave of you to come up here and do, like, I went into this whole speech about, like, there's not a lot of people here. You got to keep trying all this stuff. Realistically, he probably did suck. I mean,
most of us suck. That's fine. Sucking is not a sin.
I mean, I think that, like, especially when you're starting out, but just in general, like, I think you can like everybody bombs, right? Like everybody has off nights, or sometimes your jokes just don't hit. Like sometimes it just doesn't hit. Yeah. And you not have to, like, I think experiencing the bombing, you need it.
Happen.
But I will say, like, playing an open mic like Abby's the other night, where there were like four people in that audience that weren't comics. Like, if you can get a chuckle out of four people,
yeah,
you're, I don't know, I don't, like, you're okay. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're there for. You're there to see if someone finds a joke, a punchline funny.
And
open mics, even if nobody's even listening, like, that's just for you to practice your rhythm and your phrasing.
For you to get it out.
Like, how does this feel saying this into a microphone? Is this even something I want to keep pursuing? Like, or should I just drop this joke? Like, that's how I treat a lot of open mics.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of open mics. So I only do, I mean, I did the other one the other night because of Girl Power. I was like, the ladies are getting together. Like, I'm coming.
But
I don't do a lot of open mics. It's hard, especially when you say things like the one at the Peach had 36 people.
You gotta get there early.
That's a lot. Like, I can't.
Yeah. Mad Man too can often be like 30 people. It's a long.
Yeah, that was
the two. Earlier.
Yeah, the two there that I went to at Sad Man's, those like filled up quick. But that's also why I don't like to do open mics.
Yeah.
It's
unless you can sign up in advance online. Like in LA, they have some of those where you can like sign up.
Understand too, like, why we don't have more of that, because like I think that it would just be nice, like, especially I guess with like the Peach or Sad Man's that open so early. Especially with Sad Man's, like, there's a 2-drink minimum and you're already paying for, like, so if you already have to pay for a drink, if you just made the purchase to do the sign, like, to do the open mic, $5, and you can just sign up online.
Yeah.
Not lose it. I don't think you're losing much money.
That's how they do it in New York. It's like a $5 fee and you can get on the list in advance. And
yeah. Like, and you know, I know that adds up if you're doing like a lot of them, but like.
But it's worth it because it's like.
Always spend more than $5.
Drink always ends up being more like it is what it is. If it's Mediterranean.
I didn't know you could do that at Sad Man's. Like, you can sign up online.
No, you can't. I'm saying have to buy a drink as it is. Like, they might as well just make like a standard kind of price that you could just sign up online so that we don't have to sit out there. Because you have to sit out there for the hour, even the hour leading up to the hour to sign up, because you want to be the first one there when the hour opens, you sign. So it's like 2 hours you're just chilling.
Yeah. How many mics do you guys do a week?
Try to do like two.
Okay.
Yeah. That's decent.
I each every week. And then Skylight is a relatively new one that Jessica Smith is hosting.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's to go to that.
That's a lot. I mean, that's doing a mic 2 to 3 times a week is a lot.
Yeah.
Especially then when you so if you have a show that week, are you going to do less?
Probably. Yeah. It ebbs and flows. And it depends how much new material I have too. Like, if I have a lot of new material that I'm excited about, like, I'm going to go try to practice it as much as possible. If I haven't been writing as much, you know, I'm less motivated to get out and go.
Do you think in punchlines? I feel like since I became a comedian, I make a joke of almost everything.
Literally was making jokes while they had a speculum inside me yesterday. Like, I can't help it now.
There is a lot funny about that, though. Like, just going to any doctor, let alone like a lady doctor.
I have a good amount of doctor material. Doctors are ripe for.
Oh my gosh, he has such a good gynecologist joke. I was thinking about your joke earlier because, like, they were when they were like doing the speculum, they were talking about how my IUD is like, it could be expiring early. And like, that just happens sometimes. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It could have just been, it's taken too much in. Like, it's just, it's tired. You've been working us too hard. Like, we're done. We got to retire early. Like, and I never, ever would have the balls to say something like that publicly. But now I just don't care. I mean, I feel like, though, a more authentic version of myself.
Yeah, I feel like since becoming a comic, I don't have much shame. So that's why I get up on stage and sing about diarrhea.
Yeah.
Because I 5 years ago, I never would have done it. I never would have done that. But yeah. Now I'm like, someone hand me a mic so I can sing about Miralax.
Yeah. Isn't it? Because growing up, I sang and I did all the stuff, but then like I got bullied and I never wanted attention again. And I went through something a couple of years ago that like, I was like, if I could go through that, I can get through other things. So I just randomly started doing stand up and thank God I was okay at it. But like, it really ended up being like such a therapeutic.
I can now think about certain
memories and make them funny. And it's like, I'm full of that narrative.
So you got into comedy because you were going through something?
Yeah, I almost died. Yeah, I had like a Bosch wisdom tooth extraction. Dr. Jeffrey Morris, everybody. don't go to him for Botox either. He's in Meisner. Don't go. He went to like just inject numbing, where he said in my face, like on the side. And from that, all I felt was pain for about a week. And they basically like raw yanked my wisdom teeth out. I ended up in the hospital, like with an infection that like had grown behind my, was pressing up against my eye and my brain. And they were like, you would have waited any longer, like in that thing burst, like you would have either instantly went blind or died.
Wow.
That was supposed to be like a routine surgery. And so for 3 months, I could only open my mouth an inch. Like that was it. And I was in a lot of pain, and it was really, it was just so scary. And then all that, I was like, I could deal with anything. So it's like now, put a microphone in front of me. I did karaoke this year. I haven't sang in front of a crowd in years.
Love that.
But now I have, I don't have as much as the jitters anymore to like, when it's like my turn coming up, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. The more you do it, the more excited you get to go up as opposed to jitters.
And once, for me, a turning point was knowing that I had a handful of jokes that were good.
Yeah.
Like when I first started and I was working it out and I was like, is this just trauma dumping or is this actually funny? And like, it was like, sometimes it just wasn't, it just really didn't go well and I would panic. But now, like, no matter what, I can always just go to my, like, one of my five jokes that I know are really good jokes. And I'm never really nervous.
I love that. That's the same with me. I get excited, especially before a really big show. And I feel like most of the jokes that I started with that I wrote years ago, every now and then I'll pull them out if I'm doing crowd work and someone says something that reminds me of the joke, then like maybe I'll pull it out and say it. But I don't, most of the time I don't even like reference it. And most of the jokes are about my husband and he gets really upset.
Oh no.
When I joke about him when he's not there, but he doesn't come to a lot of my shows. But it's probably because he came to a show in LA at Comedy Fourth Wall. And that's a great place too, especially if you're just starting out. It's a great spot to go to in LA. I did a joke and I saw him. And so I pointed him out to the audience. And from then on, all of the other comics, including the host, was like, all right, Ashley's husband, stand up. And he hates being in any having any form of attention on him. And he's hot. So it's like, you would think like, oh, you want the attention. No.
I'm going to stalk your Instagram really fast too.
Oh my God, do it. Stalk away.
Wait, how long have you been in Florida? Because you used to live in LA?
I used to live in LA. I was there for 15 years. I go back and forth now. And I was just in LA in September. I've been in Florida technically since December, but not in Delray. Mm-hmm. I was in Miami. And then in Delray, I moved here in March to Delray.
Okay. Oh, so you're relatively new. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I'm new. I'm definitely new to the area. Are you looking at my Instagram?
Are you seeing my face?
What do you think? Huh? Yeah, he's hot, right? Like, I married up.
No. You're equally placed. You're stunning. Are you kidding?
Oh, well, thank you. Come on the pod all of the time, please. But I pointed him out, and I pointed him out very specifically.
Yeah.
That he was not happy. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
when your parents came, were you afraid to say, because like my parents have been in the audience, and I've said not like anything crazy inappropriate, but I've like referenced inappropriate like scenarios.
So like say. My mom is a little easier to tell jokes to. Like my dad, like he's like, I don't want to hear it. Like my mom is a little bit of a better sense of humor with that. So like she's heard, I think she heard the joke about her father's ring. And she's heard, and she'll, her reaction is like, oh my God. Like, but she's not like, my dad is more like, ugh. But when they came, so when they came to my show, they came to two now, and I will, and my dad will be like, it's kind of hard for me. But now I think that he's seen me do it, and he's seen like how it's helped me. Mm-hmm. He likes it, but like, there are certain jokes I definitely wouldn't tell in front of them. And I remember like, when I first got up there that night at the Peach, and they were there, I was like, hey, I like got into on the mic and I called them out. I was like, guys, you see those two people sitting over there? Those are my parents. So like, no matter what I do tonight, just please laugh, like make them proud of their baby. And then I told like, and because they're inspired, like you had said, sometimes somebody will say something in the audience that'll make another joke come up. So like, mm-hmm. because they were there, like it just, I all of a sudden just started talking about like how have you ever dated somebody that even your parents are left trying, like your parents have PTSD from it. Like,
the answer is yes.
Yes. My dad. Yes. My dad the starts like
absolutely. I traumatized my entire family with a
my dad like wants to be in. I found like once my dad loosened up, I was like he wants to be involved. Like he liked when there was crowd work things. He liked. When I mentioned something about like being like a independent woman, like that now that I have like a house, and so I was like, I don't need a man, and he's because my dad has been doing enough with me dating, and he gets up and he's just start clapping, and
that's so dad. Aww. That's such a that's dad
cute.
Thing.
It was so cute. I mean, he's adorable. Like he really is adorable. He's gonna make us a pizza for next week.
Wait, that's so cute. Your dad makes you pizzas?
Yeah.
Are you both from Florida?
I'm from Jersey.
I'm from Long Island.
I'm from Connecticut.
Wait, how did you guys end up here?
My parents. My parents have been here. Well, my dad's not good.
Me too.
I moved here to be closer to them.
It was a little bit of a joke. Like, I think it was always going to happen, but my parents retired down here. When mm-hmm. I was living in New York, and then I was living with an ex, and it was like one of those things where either you leave or one of us has to go.
Right.
Because like, and I couldn't be in the same, so I didn't want to go to Florida. And so I just picked up and moved to Colorado randomly.
Oh, that is so random.
It was so, and then I was like a dog groomer for 2 years, and then pandemic happened, grandpa passed away, and grandma was living alone. And I was like, I'm going to move to. And I wasn't like, dog grooming doesn't make you a lot of money. So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing in Colorado. I'm just going to go to Florida, live with my grandma for free, take care of her, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing happened again. I met, reconnected with my high school sweetheart.
Who was also in Florida?
No, who was in New Jersey. And so after I'd moved to Florida, and within a year, like picked up and moved back to my hometown. That was into a house that was around the corner from the first house I ever lived in. And that went to hell. And I was like, back to Florida I go.
Mm-hmm. And now you're here. How long have you been here?
Bought a house, so I'm staying.
Ooh, mazel, mazel.
Thank you.
I'm about to sneeze. Talk amongst yourselves. Chill.
I also, the pandemic was a big reason why I came here also. I was living in Chicago before.
Cool.
Okay. I loved it. I loved my life in Chicago. It was mm-hmm. awesome. I lived there for 6 years. I never thought I was ever going to leave. And then the pandemic just destroyed. I mean, sorry, I'm not supposed to swear.
I said the same thing before.
I've been destroyed my whole life. And yeah, I came down here because there were no vaccine passports here. And I was like, oh, I'll stay here.
I get it.
Also here, so that was another big reason. But
Chicago's big for comedy.
I didn't do comedy in Chicago. I started here, actually. Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'd always heard how big Florida was for, like, how much comedy was in Florida. Like, I had a lot of friends in L.A. that wanted to move back to Miami and just around Florida for the comedy scene. But until I moved here or spent more time here, I didn't realize how huge it is. I mean, it is a big scene here. There's tons of comics, and there's so many other comics that are that don't live here that come through and perform here. Florida is like a comedy hub.
I never knew that.
It's a cool scene. It's accessible. That's what I like about it. Like, it's not super intimidating when you sign up for an open mic. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I would say.
I got booked within like 3 months of starting comedy. You know, it's,
that's great. Good for you. That's amazing.
I'm actually glad. I mean, I have some mixed feelings. I lived in Chicago for so long, and part of me does wonder, like, if I'd started there, where would I be now, kind of thing. Of course, that's natural to wonder, but I am happy that I started here. You know, I think it was.
Where do you want, as we near the end of this episode, where do you, both of you, I don't like the question, where will you be in 5 years? This isn't a job interview, but where would you like, and this is a confusing question, but someone asked it to me, where would you like your comedy to take you? Whether that's a year from now or 10 years from now, where do you want it to go?
My biggest goal with comedy is to just write more good jokes. That is literally it. That is what drives me. That's what satisfies me. I don't care if I'm getting booked on the biggest shows or how many bookings I have or all the kind of the social element of this industry, I guess you can call it, is overwhelming to me. I don't feel like I navigate it very well. I just like to write. I like writing good jokes, and it's very satisfying to me when I get up and make people laugh. That's literally it.
I love
that. With that said, I would like to start producing shows, especially with, we don't need to like get into names or name specifics, but with what happened this week in terms of voices being amplified that should not be. I really want to be in a position to give people opportunities. So that's my big goal for next year, is to get my own room and start booking and start producing.
That's amazing.
You will. I see.
Well,
that.
You have to let us know, because we'll do everything we can.
Circulating.
You know, I'll be there.
The holidays are, you know, once I get through the holidays.
Of course. It's a crazy time.
It's kind of pointless now. Like, no one.
It's wait till the beginning of the year. I get it. Jess, how about you?
So what I've discovered in this last year, because like, it's funny because you were talking about being in Chicago and not doing comedy. I was living in New York for years and not doing comedy. And I do also love writing. Like, you know, we have those off the cuff things, and I've won 3 out of 4 of like those like one-liner contest. So like, and I've been praised for my writing. So like, even if I'm not the one performing, I would love to be like a writer for like, if it's a, you know, like some kind of just a show, like a daily show type of thing or whatever. If I'm not in front of it, but if I am still, which I would love to obviously still be going, I would like to have like my own kind of showcase thing here, something like a little, I want to like bring the essence of like British panel shows to here.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to work on that. I'm trying to work on a version of Taskmaster. Like, so I want to keep growing my skills, and I want to just kind of be a reliable, silly character. I want to like really expand myself, and I just kind of want to like be multifaceted.
Awesome. You have a lot of goals.
I'm just excited to see where it takes me, because like I never expected anything. Anything I've ever planned for has not happened. So like, I would have never guessed anything that's going on in my life years ago. So like the world
is taking me. It's funny where choices and just happenings around you can change your life completely. I mean, what it's what
5 years
now. Oh, five. I mean, my goals, I feel like I have a set of specific goals, like one of which is, and I don't know if it's 5 years from now or whatever from now, but one of my goals is to, I would love to be on reality TV.
Oh, you'd be great on reality TV.
I know. I mean, thank you.
What type? Well, obviously not dating because you're already married.
Yeah, not a dating show.
Or get traders.
Traders?
I think on the Traders. See,
I want to be on something like a housewife, like Real Housewives. Like, well, I feel like I would thrive.
Your husband would not go for that, I feel like.
No, he won't be. He will not be on it. He will not be on it. But I've on this pod, I've had a lot of reality TV casting directors and like just interviewing them. And like I love reality TV. I watch it consistently. I am now watching Selling the OC. I just watched Selling Sunset, all of it. And now I'm on to Selling the OC season 4, watching it right now. And I feel like that would parlay me into my other goals, which is every Bravo celebrity. Well, many Bravo celebrities have been Roxy Hart on Broadway in Chicago. I would kill for it. Ariana Maddox. Love her. Love her. We actually had Peter Madrigal on the show.
Really? You know what's funny? Growing up, I always wanted to be on Broadway, and Roxy Hart was also my dream role.
It's everything. It's I love it. And let's see. I mean, I just have so many specific goals, but I love comedy. And I'm excited to see where it continues to take me because already it's taken me to like really incredible places. And
crazy ex-girlfriend. I get like a crazy ex-girlfriend vibe, like from your, just from that little set that I saw you do the other night with the song.
Thank you. Yes, that's definitely, thank you so much.
I'm trying to remember the name of the comedian who writes.
Rachel Bloom.
Her name.
Rachel's. Yeah.
Rachel Bloom. Yeah. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's obviously incredibly talented. I love her. So you ruined everything. Like, I love that song. She, her and like Weird Al Yankovic are like my inspiration.
Did you watch, like,
what did I what?
Have you ever watched like Garfunkel and Oates?
Yeah, that's a good one too.
If you haven't, that's Ricky. It's Ricky Lindholm and oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. Oh, she's so funny. She's in.
Okay, I'll watch it.
She's on Scrubs. She's so cute. It's a comedy duo. I think they had also a show on Comedy Central, so it might be on Max. They're really funny. They do comedy music.
I love that. Okay, well, I will. Yeah, I'll research it after this. But I just feel it's great to have. It's great. I don't know how to word this correctly, but it's nice to have a goal that you deem inside achievable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's so many times where I feel like, get the goal is to, like, I don't know, go to the moon. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you need small achievable goals on the way to your massive goal.
Yeah, like little wins that bring you, like, your ultimate win or whatever. Yeah. And the ultimate win changes. That's also something. Yeah. Like my goals now were not my goals before I started comedy. So, and even when I started comedy, this wasn't my main, like, these goals weren't even in my head yet.
Yeah.
So things change, circumstances change, life changes. This was a long one. We're almost at an hour, you guys. I don't want to keep you. So tell everyone where they can follow you and see you next perform if you have a show coming up. Erica, we'll start with you.
So my main Instagram handle is at Erica the Comedian, Erica with a C, Erica Letterman. You can just look me up. My next show, I think December 5th, I'm doing Doghouse Theater in Delray.
Amazing. Doghouse Theater.
Yeah.
And Jess?
I don't think I have anything upcoming. I'm not sure yet. But You can find me on Instagram, jess.lasso, lasso with one S. And that's basically where the only place I'm at.
And the awesome. Beach.
And
you'll find us both at the beach.
Yeah. And you're
that's right. That's right. Well, and if you, everybody listening, I follow them. So it'll be really easy for you to find their Instagrams and keep up with what they're doing. Just go to who I follow. Thank you guys so much for coming on the pod. I loved the girl power.
Anytime. I'm always here.
I loved it.
Literally always.
Literally always here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
Yeah.